And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara County. And just a programming note, a reminder that next week on Monday, we're going to start our interviews with the candidates for the Ventura City Council. We're going to start out with sitting council member Carl Morehouse, and also we're going to have Ken Cousins on Monday the 17th. Then we're going to have the other council members on subsequent days as well, so you can listen to them, get an idea of what their policies are, what their platforms are, and get ready for the upcoming vote in early November. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is nightmares. Each of my guests is discussing a topic that some consider a nightmare, whether it's night terrors, the Occupy Wall Street movement, or the road to economic collapse. My next guest is the founder and president of the Prometheus Institute, an organization to enhance political engagement for policies that advance freedom. We'll discuss activism, like we see in the Occupy Wall Street movement, and DIY democracy. And if you have a question or if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Matt Harrison graduated from the University of Miami with a Bachelor's of Business Administration in Political Science and from the University of Southern California with a joint law degree and Master's of Public Policy. Matt founded Prometheus way back in 2003. He serves as the Institute's president. He is the driving force and behind the creative and strategic vision of Prometheus. He identified and recruited a talented team of engineers, designers, and contributors. He's the brainchild behind the DIY Democracy iPhone app. That's right, there's an app for that. He has also authored over 200 articles, publications, and other features for the Prometheus Institute. He's the author of the book, The American Evolution, How America Can Adapt to the Political, Economic, and Social Challenges of the 21st Century. He's been a guest on Fox News Strategy Room, numerous talk radio shows. He's been quoted in the Orange County Register and the Chicago Tribune. Joining us from beautiful Dana Point, how are you today, Matt?
I'm wonderful, Billy. How are you?
Well, I am terrific, and thank you so much for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. I love to talk to public policy experts like yourself because it's always so enlightening. What I liked about it is you've developed a single unified theory that you call the evolutionary choice theory that weaves a little bit of Darwin's evolutionary theory, network theory, quantum physics, and even modern economics into one theory. So first of all, what is the evolutionary choice theory, and how does your theory help explain a movement like the Occupy Wall Street movement that's being played out in New York and other cities across the United States?
Wow. Well, thanks, Billy. I really appreciate being on. To sum up evolutionary choice theory simply, just as you said, it's basically looking at public policy, economics, our political system, from a perspective of science, evolution, and growth. And in doing so, I identified freedom of choice as basically the mechanism by which society advances, whether that be in discovering new technologies, dissenting and bringing new ideas into the political discourse. I saw choice as something that really engendered new ideas and kind of the advancement that we sought to create in our own society.
Okay.
So related to Occupy Wall Street, I think the recognition that they have given to dissent as an important element in political discourse is probably the best and most important contributions they have. Beyond that, though, being a grassroots movement, it's really difficult to conclude universally what we can draw from it.
All right. Well, the jury is still out. There's no question about it. This story continues to develop day by day. One of the things, though, that strikes me, Matt, about the Occupy Wall Street movement is that while they are expressing their freedom of choice, their freedom to express their dissent, there is no one unifying or overreaching theory behind why they're occupying Wall Street. CNBC does a wonderful thing. They have a live cam set up in the park where these occupiers are demonstrating, and the people can come up and just state what's on their mind. And it's funny because guest after guest shows up and starts talking about what's on their mind, and no two of which are alike. So when it comes to freedom of choice, when it comes to your unified theory, how can these dissenters pull it together so that we could move forward if that's in fact what the Occupy Wall Street movement needs to do?
Well, Billy, I think you hit on a couple really important points. One is the importance in evolution generally, but also in politics, of having incomplete solutions, if you know what I mean. That evolution is never really complete. You're never really somewhere for a permanent period of time. And I look at Occupy Wall Street as having many flaws that should be overcome by superior methods of discourse and voicing our objections to our current political situation. And in that sense, there's a lot that we can improve on, and I absolutely agree with you. And one of those is just the protest in itself. It's my opinion, and I talk about this a little bit in the book, that the protest is a very antiquated, the traditional protest that you see of sleeping on the sidewalks and occupying public spaces is a very antiquated and ineffective method of expressing your grievances. And one of the reasons is exactly the reason that you know, Billy, which is you have diversity of opinion. And when you have a bunch of people camped out in a public space, you have no idea what their specific grievances are, what solutions necessarily would alleviate them. And it really doesn't lend itself in any material way to finding solutions to these problems. And so as much as I do appreciate the expression of choice, I think the protest in itself is an ineffective vehicle of advancing those choices and really improving our lives in any material or effective way. And that's where something like DIY democracy comes in, because that is a technology platform which is designed to allow for discussion, deliberation, and basically the virtual accountability of government being achieved through technology, mobile technology, and soon the web as well.
All right. Well, talk to us a little bit more then, if you will, Matt, about DIY democracy. I mean, why do we need do-it-yourself democracy? You know, isn't the Constitution good enough? What does DIY democracy help the average citizen do?
Well, Billy, I think you make a great point. Even in your question there, isn't the Constitution enough? Well, one thing is I don't think people understand the Constitution today. I mean, obviously, in terms of civic knowledge, it's very lacking simply because it's difficult. Constitutional law is something that's, taught in civics classes, advanced civics classes, law schools. But I don't think the average American has a grasp on not only the specifics of the Constitution, but how it applies in their lives. Or for example, when something is free speech or not free speech, or when police can search your vehicle or not. And these type of practical applications of the Constitution are exactly the type of information that we want to forward through DIY democracy. And so in a sense, we're taking the ideals of the Constitution and applying them in a very modern way, and in a way that I think, if our founding fathers were alive now, would really appreciate, simply because mobile technology and information technology give us opportunities to transmit these ideas and achieve the laboratories of democracy that our founders talked about in ways that they couldn't have conceived of, but really forward the values that they've represented, and in my mind, can do a lot to solve a lot of our pressing political conflicts.
All right, now this is intriguing, Matt. So give us some practical applications. Where does DIY democracy pick up where 8th grade civics class leaves off?
Well, fundamentally, Billy, it's about federalism, which means basically local communities taking control of their own affairs. Basically, we all know the cliche that all politics is local. And a lot of the flaws that we're seeing, a lot of the conflict that we're seeing is simply because we're making decisions for everyone. We're not letting individual communities make their own decisions. And I think you see that at the core of the Occupy Wall Street movement, the disenfranchisement that they feel is simply because you have groups in one place, centralized location, Washington, D.C., making decisions that impact the entire contiguous United States. And federalism is the opposite of that. Federalism was what our founders designed in the sense that local communities can solve their own problems and they can do things differently. The idea that, Massachusetts can solve healthcare in a way that's different from California is different than Texas. That idea of diversity, choice, and that competition in the sense, but a positive competition where we're all looking for the same thing, we're just finding it in different ways, is such a beautifully American principle. And unfortunately, it's kind of lost a lot in our current discourse, but that's what DIY democracy is for.
All right.
It facilitates local action.
Well, let's talk about federalism then, and let's apply it to immigration. Now, here we have a United States immigration law, and Arizona, and then subsequently, I think it was one of the Middle Western states, wanted to ramp up their immigration law and their immigration law enforcement. So talk to me about federalism versus the rights of federal governments versus the state governments in an issue like immigration.
Well, Billy, immigration is tough because in the Constitution, it is one of the enumerated powers of the federal government. So in the Constitution, we basically said there are a few things that the states will not do. One of them is print money. Another one is interact with foreign countries. And another one of those is having authority on naturalization, basically the process of becoming a citizen. So that the states really can't do anything there. So it's kind of a unique case because they don't have as much power as they would for other issues like healthcare or education. So in that sense, it's very different, which is, I think, why you see so much conflict, because the states feel powerless. You know, it's almost akin to Occupy Wall Street. They see a problem, and they feel that they are hamstrung or they're handcuffed, and they can't do anything about it, and they're very frustrated, so they resort to whatever methods they can come up with that are often shut down at the court level because of this constitutional principle here. So that's a very unique case of a difficult question, simply because it is a federal issue. It's not something that the states can decide under our Constitution at the current time.
All right. My guest is Matt Harrison. He's the president and founder of the Prometheus Institute. And Matt, this is a fascinating discussion because in your book, you really lay out about five rules to plug the leaks in our democracy. You've already talked about one of them, which is federalism. Talk to us about some of the other rules that you think could tighten up our democracy, make us a little bit better as a country.
Well, I think just a consciousness of freedom of choice as an essential principle in our regulatory affairs. I think that's missing, and it's something that could kind of unify both the liberal and conservative perspective on these issues, is recognizing that the freedom that we want is the ability of people to make good choices for themselves. I think that's something that both sides could agree on, and I think if we looked at every single law, every single regulation, every single application of government power within the lens of how does this affect every man, woman, the child, and child's ability to make a decision for their own lives, I think we can actually come together and achieve a lot more than a lot of the ideologies that are holding sway currently in Washington. So I really think it's fundamentally how we approach every single issue, such as, you know, education, healthcare. It really goes across the board in terms of its application.
All right. My guest is Matt Harrison. He's the author of the book, The American Evolution, How America Can Adapt to the Political, Economic, and Social Challenges of the 21st Century. He's also the CEO of the Prometheus Institute. So, Matt, talk to us. What is the Prometheus Institute? What is it exactly? What does it stand for? Why did you start it? What do you hope to accomplish with it?
Well, I started it originally quite some time ago, back in 2003, and it was dedicated to finding creative ways to get my generation, you know, the Generation Y, basically the group under 40, broadly construed, more involved and engaged in these public policy issues. I saw a significant need, both in terms of the challenges themselves, in terms of the public policy issues that we're facing, as well as the disengagement of my peers, despite them being very smart and engaged in other ways. Mm-hmm. For instance, you know, all through law school, while I was working on the Prometheus Institute and getting it off the ground, I was amazed at how many of my brilliant classmates at USC had no idea what think tanks were or what the public policy industry did. And this is something that's really crucial to our democracy and very important, something that they would appreciate. But, you know, it's not effectively communicated, and so much of our dialogue is unfortunately ineffective in engaging the people who would really value it and benefit from it. So it became my goal to find methods to alleviate those problems.
All right, well, give us some ideas.
We eventually settled upon technology as the best way to do that, simply because information technology and innovations thereof, as I was talking about, can let us increase accountability, transparency, dialogue, engagement, and we don't have to sleep on sidewalks. Instead, we can use mobile technology and other devices to effectively improve our affairs.
All right. Well, let's get specific if we can, Matt. Give us some ideas of how we can engage younger generations to become more active in our democracy, because I shudder when I see the low voter turnout among the 18 to 34-year-old age group at our national elections. I mean, it's just staggeringly bad. So what can we do? Give us some concrete examples.
Absolutely. Well, basically what we're trying to do is DIY democracy is intending to be the vehicle through which citizens will be able to express their grievances. Right now, it's just an iPhone application, but it will be a complete software platform, including web, all the different smartphones, and basically it will be designed to help you improve your community. Beyond the vote, connecting you with all the apparatus of government, including, you know, divisions of your local government, public works, police commission, fire commission, different divisions of the State Department, all the regulatory agencies that have so much control over people's lives, but yet we have no idea how to, no idea really what they're doing. Basically connecting people with their government in new ways and giving them access that they haven't had before. And so right now, that means information that empower people to improve their communities. And we think this platform is really important simply because I think you hit on something, Billy, which is the younger generations don't like voting. They don't think it's necessarily effective. And I know that shocks a lot of people, especially in the older generations, a lot of the time, simply because it's considered such an American icon, you know, the vote and democracy. But there is a legitimate critique to it, which is our government makes a lot of decisions, especially at the federal level. It's on the number of hundreds of thousands of decisions throughout a term. And yet our feedback mechanism, our ability to decide whether those 100,000 decisions were good or not, is one single vote. And not one single vote about any of those items or any of those decisions, but one single vote about that person relative to one single other person, right? And so the decision-making metric there, that absence of freedom of choice there, the absence to choose your opinion of those 100,000 decisions, is a big flaw in democracy. And despite the bad things about, you know, young people's apathy, I think the positive is it shows how much potential there is for something to improve that and to connect you with those 100,000 decisions. And that's what DIY Democracy is trying to do. It's trying to connect you with all the different ways that government actually impacts you in your lives and gives you the choice to say what you think about it, whether that means uploading videos or media relative to a certain decision or department, discussing things, sharing them, really just bringing the vote to all of government rather than just one single person every 4 years.
And I think that that is a very worthwhile goal. My guest is Matt Harrison. He's the CEO of the Prometheus Institute. He's also the author of the book, The American Evolution, How America Can Adapt to the Political, Economic, and Social Challenges of the 21st Century. Matt, if people are intrigued by what you have to say, they want to learn more about you, maybe learn more about the Prometheus Institute, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Well, you definitely can check out the Prometheus Institute website, which is theprometheusinstitute.org. And you can also, if you have an iPhone, check our app out in the iTunes App Store, and just keep your eyes open because we're coming out with a lot of cool stuff in the next couple of months, and it would be great for you guys to join us.
That is the Prometheus, Prometheus Institute.org. Matt, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you, Billy. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.